Yes, 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 yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long time, hasn't it? But we are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Oh, hey, man. Hey, it's a Carolyn and Joe show. My name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress, but also...
You're a podcaster.
I'm a podcaster. Across me is one of the greatest minds in this universe has ever seen. The creative, the ultra cartoony, the coolest, the sexiest, the biggest brain in all this planet. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I have big brains and I cannot lie.
That's right. Big, big brain.
The motherfellas can't deny.
That's right. Hey, man. Hey, everybody. How you doing? It's almost done. 2016 is almost done.
I can't believe there's only a few more days left.
And whoa, absolutely nothing happened in 2016.
It felt like a really big news year. Like, it felt like big news stories and lots of tragedies. And part of me is like, is this just because we are oversaturated with news 24/7? We can read any article we want. Everything's out there instantly. Or, like, has big stuff always been happening, but we never hear about it as much because of the news cycles?
I mean...
From back in the day, wasn't as prominent.
I mean.
I mean, a lot of things happened back in the day that we'll never know about because it was never reported.
That's right. And just so you guys know, you are listening to the La La Land soundtrack score. Go out there and buy that thing so we don't get in trouble. But just buy it and watch that movie because it's freaking awesome.
We saw the movie.
That gets my pick of 2016, La La Land. Buy the score, buy the movie. Buy it all, man. Buy it all. But yeah, 2016, another one in the books is what they say. But we're still here. Took a break. It was actually a little bit of a challenge to find motivation to do a podcast during that time because there was just so much. At least to me, there was just so much out there.
For me, it wasn't necessarily about motivation, but more about exhaustion. Like, I felt like, just after finishing our fall comic tour and everything, just felt very exhausted. And Joe and I are the type of people that, like, we're always going to be creating for as long as we're around. As long as we exist.
That's right.
And I don't feel like I'm the type of person that's just going to be like, oh, I'm never going to do a comic strip ever again. It's my last one. You know, like, it's just... Even if I'll take some time off, you know, maybe I'll take a few weeks or something.
Yeah.
There will still be comics being made. It won't just, you know, it's just something inside of us. I don't think we're quitters. We're lifers. So in that sense, I don't see the podcast going anywhere, even though we did miss a few episodes. I remember last year the same thing happened. We got really busy with the fall tour. But then, do you remember last year we made it up in December? We did 2 episodes a week.
Yeah, and we still got those episodes that we have to air, too.
I know. So last December, we did like 10 podcasts that month. Because I have it in a little calendar, and it's pretty cool how I mark everything down and color code it.
A little bit to business first. We do have Carolyn's news happening, rolling in. What do you got? Do you have anything for us to end this? The final news segment of 2016.
Well, I know that your band Monday Mistress has some upcoming tour dates.
That's true. We are playing Jam and Java January 4th. We are headlining that.
What day of the week is that?
That is a Wednesday. That's next week. Next week.
Wow.
And then we also are playing at the Pinch January 20th. Our first time ever playing DC. And then we're returning February 17th to play the Pinch 2 in Washington, D.C. So Washington, D.C., watch out. We are... we are ready to knock your face off.
That sounds pretty fun. So how can people get tickets to this coming Wednesday's performance?
You can find us. The best way really is to to show, at least to, you know, for us, for the whole entire scenario, is to buy tickets from us. If you can find us, buy tickets from me. I'll give you tickets. I'll drive those tickets for you to buy, just to show that you have support for our band and everything you've done in this full awesome year of
Monday
Mistress.
And that's at
Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. Yeah.
So is this a battle of the band scenario, or what type of performance?
You know, that's the thing. It's always a tough thing. No matter what, we're gonna go out there and we're gonna, with our block of music, we are there to bring the house down. I'm always afraid because Jam and Java is not really, you know, it's not like a super rocky type location, but we definitely are like a really aggressive rock. We're not like metal. We're hard rocking, you know, have a little bit of punk ferocity to us.
So how many other people are performing that night, or bands?
There's a lot. There's a lot, and we're the last one. So
it's almost like you.
We're headlining.
If you want to get like a taste of, do you know if they're all local?
Yeah, they're definitely all local.
Or mid-Atlantic?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I guess the cool like way to pitch this would be, if you want to get a cool taste of a lot of bands that are in the area, come to Jam and Java on Wednesday. Because I feel like, how many, I saw the list of bands. I don't remember the exact number. I didn't count, but it was like 12 bands or something. So I feel like you get a good diverse taste.
You do. And it's a very curated show. So it's not like anyone's going to come up there. These are probably the best of the best. And we happen to be one of them.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't heard Monday Mistress, you can go to the website, mondaymistress.com.
And also, we have a single out. We have a song called Fuss. You can check it out on mondaymistress.bandcamp.com. You can pay for it. It's $1.50 for a song. What's $1.50? It's nothing, but it's the world to us. So go out there and buy that song. Share it with all of your friends. We got some good feedback from the song so far. Really, some people have said you've given us hope in rock music and in bands, so that's really awesome.
It's good to hear that. It's good to get that feedback.
People say it's catchy. You know what? I just write these songs to make them mean something, and hopefully that's something.
Definitely. And then as far as 2017 goes with the Curl Studio Tour, I haven't announced any official tour dates just yet, but we do have a couple events up our sleeve. It's just a little bit too early to announce right now, and I don't want to put the full schedule out right now. And, some of the events, like SPX is in the fall, they are doing a lottery system now, so we can't really announce until, I guess, they start the application process, I think, starts in April. So we won't know about that for a long, long time, probably like May or June until they might announce their lineup, so... There's a lot that's still up in the air, but I would, you know, again, we would love to be at SPX. We're there every year since we've been making comics. So, you know, of course, my heart is set on it. But nowadays, you never know if you're going to get into these comic shows because they're so prominent. And really, you could do a comic show almost every weekend if you wanted to. You could even just drive up and down the East Coast and just go every weekend, or, you know, if you could afford it, take flights and do all that stuff. But I do want to focus this year on actually making stuff. That doesn't mean that we're not going to do any touring, but, you know, it does take a lot of energy out of you to do these tours every week and then, you know, still be working a full-time job. And, you know, there's no breathing room to actually get some comics work done. So, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more selective or try some shows for the first time and come and go here and there. But, you know, we definitely do want to keep, you know, my agenda is to keep with the big shows that are accessible from where we are in Mid-Atlantic, which would be Awesome Con, which is in Washington, D.C., and that is in, I believe, June. SPX and Baltimore Comic-Con, those are both in Maryland. And, of course, New York Comic-Con is a big major show. So, you know, those are the ones that I definitely feel like would be, you know, possibility of us doing again, because we seem to be consistent with those. And yeah, I'm really excited. We're definitely going to add a couple more shows, I think. But, you know, off the top of my head, that's the goals. Again, nothing official just yet, because I don't want to... It's too early. It's not 2017 yet. But in my head, I feel like I'm preparing for it. Like, Joe, are you one of those people that wants this year to end?
I mean, I really have no choice.
I mean, no one does.
I actually really enjoy the night of New Year's Eve. For some reason, like, I feel I guess, you know, people, you're like, wow, Christmas Eve, you know, that's a big thing. And I don't know what it is with what, as I've gotten older, I feel a more romanticism towards the New Year's Eve for some reason.
Hmm.
And maybe because like a lot of the movies that I watch, a lot of my favorite movies have New Year's Eve as a critical component in the story. So maybe that's something, because it is like, oh, it's a new year.
New year, new you.
Though it's not going to be. Any day can be a new year,
exactly.
Really.
I feel like it's just a way to mark time. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those holidays like Valentine's Day in a way where everyone knows it's coming. And it's still kind of like, I won't say it's a made up holiday in those terms. I was thinking like Valentine's Day is more, you know, obviously it's like a Hallmark holiday, and that definitely is more made up. Then New Year's is like, you know, the changing of the calendar. And in that sense, like, it's something that everyone knows about, that everyone, you know, at least acknowledges in their head, even if they have nothing to, they don't want to have any resolutions or anything like that. A thought still comes in their head that day that this is like a brand new year. And so I feel like Valentine's Day is similar in terms of like, even if you don't want to celebrate it, even if you do have like a spouse or a significant other, and like, you don't, it's not really your thing to be super romantic, still in your head, you're always reminded, like, oh, today's Valentine's Day.
So, I mean, like, as I grew older, a lot of thoughts come to my mind. And a lot of times these holidays, like all these man-made or woman-made things, you know, and I come to think about, like, oh, it's horrible that these could be just conceptualized and just like a government thing or a commercial thing. And I come to think, like, is that so bad? Because, like, I remember when I was growing up, like, every day I would look forward to something. I can't wait to get done with school so I can go watch Batman the Animated Series. I can't wait till I'm done with this weekend I'm done with this week because then I have the weekend. It's like, I feel like the ultimate one is New Year's Eve. It's like, oh, cool, we've made it another year. You know what I mean? That's so cool. We made it through. We made it. That's great. And, you know, it's sometimes, though they're fabricated or based on some sort of lie, you can still conceptualize some sort of, you can spin it into something awesome either way, something rememberable. And like we're at this point, at least when I go and I see any type of social media or anything that's happening this year, the common thing is that I can't wait till 2016 is over, which is hilarious because it's like, yeah, we're trapped in this year, but like theoretically is it really going to change?
It's not like
the fates. It's not like the universe is all on the same time length that we're just like, there, it's done. It's that one is over with. But I understand what they're saying, because like in this year, so many things have happened, and some good, some bad. But like for a lot of people, it's been like such a horrible year, such a horrible year. And I might be playing the asshole's side of it like I usually do. And when I look at that and I'm like, why was it so bad? Because you put your life in the hands of celebrities? You know what I mean? It's like, I was like, sorry. I mean, yes, these deaths are horrible. These are horrible things. These are amazing, horrible things. But at the same time, I'm like, so, I mean, I understand. Yeah, now your day is bad and this is it. But then it comes to me thinking, it's like, yeah, but like, I can still live. I can still go out there and do something. And yes, I pay my pity and my people die all the time. And I'm just like, why are we put all these people on such a high pedestal that it ruins this? It's like we've had family members die, and it's like, okay, George Michael died. Oh yeah, but on the same day, one of my family members died. It's like, yeah, but George Michael died. I was like, what the? You know what I mean? It's like, come on. It's like, what are you trying to do? Are people legit saying, like, because of this media, because of this fame-seeking world that we created, that, like, instantly we're saying these people are famous for great reasons, I know, and horrible things, but so much death has happened, it really made me think of, like, this is the reason why I should be doing what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because these people are doing their stuff. They did it. They did what they had to do, and they're going to get praised by it, you know?
In addition to all the celebrity deaths, I think definitely the election affected a ton of people, and I still see, like, all of these comments online. I don't really want to talk about the election too much, because I will say you know, props to our podcast for not even talking about the election.
And that was another thing. That was a reason why. And that's one of the things I take pride in this show is that we don't go for the obvious answer and we don't go for the fish bait commentary and we don't do that. We try to keep it as super honest as possible. And yet during that time of when the election was happening, you know, people were feeling this, people were feeling that.
They're still feeling it.
People are still feeling it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to remind you this. If we're going to end 2016 on this, is that, in the words of anything, I don't know. Listen. We are still human beings. We are still people. If really, in the words of my dad, if you see a mess, pick it up. That's it. If you see a mess, well, pick it up.
In addition to that, you know, I just want to throw out the statistic.
Throw it in the trash.
That basically half of the population didn't even vote. So, you know, there's that too. So, like, all these people that are complaining, I'm kind of like, did you even vote? You know, I guess, you know, there's that too.
And they're, I feel and like they'll still keep complaining,
and
right?
And I really wish, you know, like, I can't say that I voted every single time, but, you know, like, I try to make a difference. I try to have a say. And I do try to get out and vote as much as I should. And, you know, when I hear that half the population hasn't voted, I'm like, well, that's a lot, you know, like that's a lot of people that, and I know that maybe the two candidates weren't their pick of choice. You know, I know that they were probably like the most unliked people and, you know, it could go either way, either side. Doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican.
I mean, part of it really goes to shows like how'd they get so far?
But it's
how do two people that people despise make it so far? It's not their fault.
There wasn't like this overwhelming, like, sense of like, on either side, well, you know, actually, you know, I will say maybe Donald Trump's side had more enthusiastic people, and that's why he won. And so, you know, to me, that made sense. And, you know, we thought that that would happen. So happened.
I'm totally, even though everyone knows my political stance, there was a moment, like, the day before the election, where there was something in my head. I was like, he's going to win it. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's that moment. I was like, it doesn't even, it's like, he's going to win it. This is like, what is, you know, when you could just say, there's something in the air.
Yeah.
Where you just know, like,
the sniff of
this
Trump.
This is happening. John Cena is going to win. Or Roman Reigns is going to win this. We should boo. Or, you know what I mean? That's how you get that. We should boo, but you get that feeling of like, something's happening, but people can't do anything about it. But they could have.
If they felt compelled to, you know, vote the other way, it could have went the other way if more people came out.
Well, who knows, but if any of this stuff, it's all make-believe. It's all pro wrestling anyway.
Or maybe Russia just infected everyone. But, yeah, you know,
it's all make-believe.
It is all very much a work.
Don't let the government do something you don't want to do. How about that?
You know, I'm not even picking sides here. I just think the whole thing is hilarious. I really do. And a lot of people are like, this is a serious thing. We can't laugh at it, but it's actually pretty funny to me. So,
well, the funny part for me,
and I'm a cartoonist, so, you know, maybe I have to look at it from that angle.
It's like, it's hilarious for me is the fact of like in those last months, it's like, oh, now everyone's an activist.
It's like, well, they're not actually doing anything.
Well, what I'm like, but you know what I'm saying, now everyone's speaking up. It's like, where were you? Well, we're all hustling hard in the trenches when everything seemed like it was okay, but now it's like, oh, when it's in your face, it's like there's something messed up happening all the time.
I'm not saying I'm like a big activist, because I'm not. But, you know, a lot of people like have all these opinions and want the world to change and like all that. And like, that's fine. That's healthy to have opinions and like, you know, do all that. But just because you broadcast it on social media doesn't mean a lick. You know, it's nothing. You type a sentence and click enter. Okay, good for you. You know what? Like, there's tons of stuff you can be doing to help out. Like, for example, I'm just equating this to myself. That's all I can equate it to. You know, this year I helped with a homeless shelter. I gave, I didn't actually give blood this year, but I did in the past. And I also run a blood drive called Cartoonist Draw Blood. And we've saved like hundreds of people in the past, I guess, 4 years doing this. What else have we done? I went to a children's hospital and drew cartoons with kids. And again, like I'm not Mother Teresa, I'm not devoting my life to all this stuff. I'm sure there's other people that have done a whole lot more than me, but I'm equating it to myself. And there's just like three or four instances of this year where like I've given back to others. And that's all I'm saying. If you feel like you want to change the world, like what have you done? And maybe you're listening to this and you're like, hey, you know, I volunteer with my homeless shelter too. That's cool. Or maybe you teach kids how to read or something in your free time, you know, or help children and you know, teach lessons or something. I don't know. There's tons of stuff you can do to like share your own talents and with other people. I just don't see most people actually doing that. And a lot of the comments that I see that are really activists online, again, maybe I'm missing something. You know, I don't really broadcast like exactly every little detail of things I do to help people. Some people do, you know, some people are like, hey, I gave $5 to this guy at the store today, you know, stuff like that, and they feel good about broadcasting that. But you know, there's stuff you can do. That's what I'm saying. It might not fully be this big massive reaction, but you know, if you feel like you can help the world in some way and have a free day to go volunteer at some organization, then, you know what, maybe you should do it. That's like all I'm putting out there.
Yeah, don't waste time.
And rather than you're just sitting at home, like typing into Twitter, typing into a box on Facebook, you know, like that's really not going to do that much. Like it might air out like your internal grievances, but maybe you should actually like physically do something in person and like go outside and see other people.
See, it almost feels like, also the way social media is working is that with their algorithm, with the way all the algorithms are moving, really, it feels like they can easily filter out things that they don't want and blame it on an algorithm.
Yeah, I mean,
that's an idea, isn't it? It's like, oh, we have the algorithm doesn't let the people see what I'm posting. Yeah, maybe it is the algorithm that's, you know, what did you post that was wrong? It's like maybe you can get red flagged early.
It could be anything.
Follow the money.
Could be anything.
Follow the money.
Well, what's really crazy is just to me, like, you know, we look back at, there's so many things to look back at. And again, you know, we don't want to harp on the election too long, but, you know, that was a big story of the year. That was the big news. That was like Hillary versus Trump. Like, that was,
yeah, because that it was started the, like a joke and then the joke.
Dude, I was always taking it seriously, but like laughing internally because I was like, wow, look at these personalities. Like, I love people with big personalities. So in that sense, it was like, wow, that's a battle. And there's so many things you could do, like male versus female, globalist versus American power, you know, like there's like nationalist, you know, so like there's all like types of angles you could look at the whole thing. It was very interesting. If you actually study like the maps of the election results, and there's a lot of really cool interactive stuff that New York Times made. If you actually study that stuff, it's really interesting. So like that stuff I was into. The drama about he said, she said, blah, 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 blah. Like I wasn't really too keen on a lot of that stuff, but the outcome was actually very, very interesting. So there's that. It obviously was a big news story of the year. The other big news story I remember was, I think July was like one of the biggest news months of all time. Like just a lot of stuff globally happened. And then there was the nightclub shooting Pulse in Orlando. That was a really big deal. I felt actually more impacted by that than any other news story this year. Just knowing that like that could have happened at any other club. Like it could have been, I know it was like targeted as a gay club, but it was really just a place where people hung out. You know, mostly I guess gays went there, but other people went there too just to hang out. Like that could have happened at any nightclub that I go to see music at, you know, it just made me feel like it was like, man, that's like a place where people go to be happy. You know, they're just there to hang out and dance or listen to music. And that kind of like, you know, ruined the mood for me of like knowing that people can just go from being happy one minute to fearing for their life the next minute. And that's pretty, it wasn't like at this point, nothing's necessarily shocking to me, but it was pretty upsetting. And it, you know what else was kind of funny about that? Again, I'm not trying to make jokes, but how I deal with like a lot of tragedies is I have to laugh about it. Of course, if I probably knew somebody directly involved with it, I wouldn't be laughing at all. But I did find it funny when they showed like the victims of the Pulse shooting, and it was all like pictures of like their Grindr accounts. Like, you know, and it was like hot like pictures.
That's all
like,
they can find.
That's all they can find. Minute. Like, it was just like hot pictures of like the guys like shirtless, like, you know, all they, most of them look great, posing, smiling, you know, in bed, like, hey baby, I'm here to grind, you know, like I don't like it was just like
is that what it is? I'm here to grind.
I don't know. But it was like, you know, like a dating service, you know, like they're putting their best foot forward, you know, like
hey baby, kinda, I'm here to grind.
Kinda like sexually though, you know, like a lot of them had their shirts off. Not all of them were like that, but a lot of the photos look like that. And it's like, that's kind of, it, to me, it was funny of like, oh, that's how you're going to be remembered by your Grindr photo. You know, like I found humor in that. And, you know, I apologize if somebody's upset by that. But, you know, again, I'm a cartoonist, so I have to deal with things with humor. Of course, I felt horrible about any of those people dying. But, you know, that's how like I thought was interesting, because also, you know, to I guess with the photo thing, that was to draw back to a job that I've worked with in the past. Those of you that might remember the Oklahoma City bombing, I actually worked on the memorial for that, doing the interactive touchscreens. So I had to go through a lot of those deceased people and look at their photos. And back then, this was before the like major internet, before any type of social media. So a lot of these people had like Life Touch photos or, what's the one where like they go and get dressed up?
Glamour shots.
Yeah, they had the glamour shots or like Life Touch photos and everything was like feathered. You know, there were some people that had those type of photos, and then there were some people that didn't really have a good photo of themselves. And I found that interesting. Like there was a couple guys I remember that there was no like straight on photo of them. It was just them at like profile view, like at a party from the background. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a clear photo of them. They just happened to be in like kind of like a background of a photo or something almost. So like, I was like, man, can you believe it? There's like people from that time period that never really had a good photo of themselves. This is all they have to go on. So I was thinking about that project that I worked on. And then I was thinking about like the Grindr photos from this year. And I was like, that's interesting. From like these mass bombings and shootings, you know, you look at the faces of the people and it goes with the times, you know? And so it makes you wonder, like, you know, not like you have control over it, but if you were ever, like, missing or if you were ever, you know, in a bad circumstance and your photo was being passed around, you know, like, what photo would they use of you?
Yeah.
I was thinking of that, and I was like...
Mine would be a square.
But, you know, there's obviously pictures of you online people could find, but it's just, it, like... It's not like we don't have photos of ourselves out there, but it just makes you wonder, like, what would be the one that someone would pick for you, you know?
Hopefully you can have that already set, like...
You can already, like, have it requested.
Use this one, please.
If I'm ever missing,
yeah,
here's
use,
my
please
photo.
Use this one.
My emergency photo. I mean, they might have that in the future, like, you can put in your Facebook to be,
that
like,
would
this
suck.
Is my major photo.
That would suck if you were a ghost, you're walking around, you're like, let me go check out my funeral, it's happening today, and you look at the photo, and you're like, damn it!
Damn it, they're using my Grindr picture!
Gosh, why? That's not the one.
That was supposed to only be for Billy. Yeah. Like, I don't.
Mom, don't look.
Mom, I'm shirtless. You know, like, I don't know. To me, that felt like, you know, whatever.
Well, the Grindr photo, you know, just like any dating service photo. It's like, you want, I guess that is the best photo they want out there, right?
I mean,
that
for, is to choice. Attract other guys. Well, yeah.
To attract anybody, really. That's
but, like,
the one.
I mean,
you know,
they're I will say they look
oiled
good.
Up and has a chain necklace. Why not?
A lot of those guys look good, so, you know, it was like, it wasn't like they look bad, you know, in that sense. But it's just a funny thing that that's the situation, like, that's the photo that they're using. Anyway, but that, you know, I guess that was a major event, like, in my mind from this year. I know there was, like, a whole bunch of other crazy stuff. Like, mostly the election was just very crazy. And then now, with all these celebrity deaths, just this week, you know, we have Carrie Fisher. And now Carrie Fisher's mom is apparently in the hospital. They think she might have had a stroke. So, I mean, and she was like at, I guess, the brother's house planning a funeral for her. So we don't know the latest status of that, but that's what it is, I think, right now. And it's like, wow, that's, like that Carrie Fisher thing, you know, I think there was some prep beforehand because we knew about, like, you know, I guess on a flight she was in trouble and she was never able to regain consciousness for a few days. But, you know, like, Carrie Fisher definitely must have impacted a lot of people, because my whole feed for the past few days is just Carrie Fisher, everything. But, you know, she was a big loss this year. Of course, David Bowie earlier this year, and Prince was huge. And Gene Wilder. I felt like Gene Wilder was like a big loss for me personally. Out of every celebrity that died this year, he probably had the most influence on me, because I'm a big fan of Willy Wonka.
That's the interesting thing that I see now out of all of this. It's like, are you gonna jump on the bandwagon of the RIP bandwagon? If you don't jump on the RIP bandwagon, are you looked at as like insensitive towards things?
Or no,
are you looked
at as like an asshole? I think it's okay if you just don't say anything necessarily. For me right now, like this is my first time publicly talking about Carrie Fisher, and you know, I think the most recent Carrie Fisher is when she does appearances on a lot of the late night talk shows, and she's just like really brash and honest and just tells it like it is. Like, to me, that's my favorite Carrie Fisher. I can't say like I'm a huge Princess Leia fan. Like, I'm not against it, but I don't have like any Princess Leia memorabilia, and I don't like look at her pictures in my free time. You know, like I mean she exists and that's cool, but I'm not like a huge fan or anything, and thus I never have written Carrie Fisher RIP. I just haven't felt the need to. But I will say, like when David Bowie died, I felt like it was cool to do Curls as Ziggy Stardust. Like,
that's a visual.
Because it was a cool visual, and I was like, okay, cool. And I'm not necessarily a big David Bowie fan, but I did check out his album Black Star that came out. I think it came out like, what was it, 2 days before his death, right before his death.
Yeah.
And that album is really great. Like, there's a couple songs on there I really, really liked. And it's definitely, that whole album is basically a concept album that's all about dying. Which is, it's really kind of creepy, but there's some cool creepy sounds going on in there. And so I liked what he did. Like, as an artist, I liked how he knew he was going to die and he had like a present for people.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really creepy in its own way, but it's like he gave back before he left. And I feel like that was a really nice way of handling it without announcing it beforehand to people. I don't think many people knew he was even sick. Maybe only his close circle. And I thought it was nice the way that he handled his death. So I respect David Bowie for that. And I was never like a huge fan of his necessarily. In a way, I actually discovered him more by his death. Which is always actually kind of sad, because it's like, man, he just died and I just got into him. So there's that. I don't know. And it was explained to me like, you know, I was like, man, all these celebrity deaths, like, I'm not really super impacted by them necessarily. Like, yes, of course, the reason why they're famous is because they've done phenomenal things.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But I'm also, like, not super obsessed with celebrities enough to, like, RIP each one of them anytime they die and run to Twitter and tell everyone.
If anything, I really wish I knew them more personally to put more legitimacy towards me giving them a send-off in some sort. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Because also, like, you know, think about it, like you were saying earlier, everyone, you know, people are dying all the time. And, like, a lot of... Oh, and you know who else died this year?
Millions of people in the Middle East. How about that?
You know who else died this year that I actually did have more of a connection to was Brian Bedford.
Brian Bedford?
The voice of Robin Hood, the fox. Yeah. Because to me, Robin Hood the fox, I think I've said on this podcast before, that was probably one of my first crushes. And he had a nice voice, too. So the voice of Robin Hood the Fox did die this year.
What if in 2017, like, no one dies? The year of no death.
I don't think that would be possible.
The earth would just overflow. It would just keep people just going to the water.
Well, I guess, you know, some heavy hitters did die in music. Oh, didn't Glenn Frey of the Eagles die, too? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty heavy.
I remember there was that one time when Anthony Kiedis got sick. And they're like, no, 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 not him.
I didn't think he was going to die, though.
But, like, it was in that momentum that was happening. No, no, not him, no.
Not another musician. A lot of big musicians died this year. But, you know, again, I just don't feel super connected. I can understand, like, to me, if people are saying that 2016 was a bad year because all these people died in the election.
It's like, what else happened in your life? What else happened in your life?
That's how I feel.
You know what I mean? What else? What did, so you did nothing except pay attention to people dying, and then the election. You didn't contribute anything to society other than every week saying RIP Morgan Freeman.
Did he die too?
No.
Oh, don't start an internet hoax. But what I'm getting at is that for me personally,
that's the biggest running running joke.
For me personally, in 2016 was not a bad year for me. It was, I'd say it actually was like, you know, it was frenzied near the end of the fall time, because the fall time's always kind of big with the comic conventions. We never have enough free time, and you're feeling like you're juggling everything, and like, you know, letting the laundry go for a little bit too long, and you know, it's like you're not consistent with your flow of life. You know, that always happens every fall. So to me, that's like not much different than any other fall time. But you know, I guess with the election added on to it, it just felt like everybody was really pent up. But by reading all the comments and stuff, what, and it was just
and
like,
that's the worst thing to do in anything. But they exactly. are entertaining. But when I look at when people tell me about that, whenever I see these signs or anything, people say 2016 suck. I can't wait till it ends. It's a horrible year.
Or like the FU 2016.
I almost feel bad for
them
living my life in 2016, because I have a lot of great memories in 2016, but now I feel bad about like wanting to say them. You know what I mean?
If you had a good year, you had a good year. Because to me, it's Equinox. Because I met freaking
Allison Mosshart and Jamie Hentz again. I mean, but this time they met even more. That was in 2016. Mm-hmm. All these, there's a lot of great moments. My band did amazing shows 2016. The French Fry Club came out. Really, really awesome. Good response to that.
Frank Miller again.
Met Frank Miller. Did a panel, potentially working with Summer Glau. I mean, there's a lot of great personal things, and everyone should remember that they don't live in these other people's worlds. They live in their life too, and that you should look at the good stuff that happened this year. I bet, I almost guarantee, I'll put the belt on the line. I'll put the championship on it for everyone to look back and look at, you have good stuff. I know a lot of friends who've had lots of bad things happen to them, or they had like, you know, they had breakups or they had bullshit that happens. But at the end of the day, you had still had some great things happen to you. No matter what, you can look back and, you know, if anything, you can look back and be like, I'm freaking Rocky, man. Punch me as much as you want. I'm still here. 2016. Who knows? It could be worse. It could be worse,
and it might get worse, you know. Because another thing is, it's about that equinox, like you always say, Joe. Because there's some years, I forget, you know, the exact years, but you know, like a few years, like I lost my job a couple times. You know, that does hurt, or like a big breakup might hurt a lot, or you know, if a really important family member dies. Yes, I can definitely see how you might, if 2016 was a sucky year for you, if you lost your job, your like really loving grandma died, and you know, your goldfish died. I don't know, but I'm just saying that like it can be a very sad year. That's hard to get back up off your feet, you know, feeling like you worked hard for this company and then they just got rid of you, and then you have to find another job and like worrying about money. And then, like, your grandma, who you love very much, died, and, like, all these emotions with that, you know, or your car broke down and you couldn't afford to get a new one immediately. I don't know. There's lots of struggles that everyone's going through, and I've heard all these stories, and I hear, you know, little bits and pieces from other people's life, secondhand sometimes, and, you know, you think about, like, wow, a lot of people are going through stuff all the time, or something, you know. People have relatives that are going through breast cancer, or, you know, a lot of stuff is going on. Like, just because everyone can pretend like they're happy, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are. But really what it comes down to is maybe, you know, make a list of a handful, maybe five things that were good for you this year, and focus on that instead of other outside elements. Like, to me, the election is an outside element. It doesn't pertain to you directly.
Listen, the secret of it all is politics. I'm sorry, but it's not made to make you happy.
Either way,
I'm sorry. The truth to you guys. It's not here to make you guys feel good.
And very little people actually really liked Hillary that much. I do know of a couple people that I know of that really loved Hillary. They would have loved to have a female president. They really did like her. But the majority of people, let's be honest, they didn't really even like her. I mean,
delete. So, yeah, and Matt Hardy had a resurgence with his broken and stuff. Is he gonna say 2016 sucked? I don't think so.
You know, it can,
Kevin Owens is Universal World Champion. AJ Styles is World Champion. Are we going to say 2016 sucked? No, we got what we wanted.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of things going on too. Even like, you know, people, you know, you reach a certain age where people's parents start dying and stuff. You know, luckily, my parents are still around. And, you know, that's very good. But, you know, there was going to come a time where, you know, we all might have to handle that. And, you know, you start to hear about these things and it's really sad, you know. Or you hear about, like, this year, like, two of my favorite, you know, if you want to go into favorite celebrities, like Michael Bublé and Chris Angel both have kids that, like, were diagnosed with cancer. And to me, that's, like, very sad. And they're both, their kids are, like, under age 3. And, you know, they're so young, they don't even probably know what's wrong with them, and they just probably think that that's how life is. You know, and there's lots of bad stuff going on that you hear about. But you, in a way, you have to disconnect from that celebrity life, unless you are, like, related to them or really good friends with them. Like, it really shouldn't impact your life that much. But if you are a fan of them, like, for example, if Vince Gill died, he'd probably be, like, he's my number one celebrity. And I would probably be upset for maybe, you know, it's hard to predict. I don't even want to think about it. But, you know, I would definitely be upset. I would probably cry when I first heard about it, you know? And I don't want it to ever happen, but it probably will happen eventually, you know? So it's like, I don't, like, again, I don't even want to think about it. So if you are, like, a big fan of Prince, like, if Prince is your number one musician, I understand that you probably went for a 2-week thing where you were really upset and, like, listened to his music, played tribute to him, got that emotional stuff, got it, you know, resolved, got it out of your system. But I feel like 2 weeks is good for a celebrity death if they are, like, your number one celebrity. Do you see what I'm saying, Joe? Like, yep. Those top celebrities, that's it, you know? But maybe this year, you know, all those celebrities that died, maybe they weren't my top celebrities, so maybe I didn't feel that much for it. But I do feel like it is, like, a bandwagon thing. Like, once everybody says R.I.P. Carrie Fisher, then you feel like you need to say it, too. So I mean, there's true. That, too. But, you know, like
there's R.I.P. pressure. That's what it
there,
is.
It is R.I.P. That should be all one word, R.I.P. pressure. Under pressure. David Bowie. But, you know, it's if they are your number one top celebrity, top musician, favorite bands, I get it. I really do get it. And you can tell the people that will write, like, a whole paragraph about why they love them instead of just saying R.I.P. Carrie or something. You know, like, the people that are writing these essays with it, like, that, I do feel for some of them because they have to get out their emotions.
I really do feel for people who had personal deaths and then they get, like, overshadowed with some, like, even LaChina died, remember? Then people are like, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. People whose deaths get overshadowed by another person's death. I despise that because it's like, or, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, now it's really a sign of, like, oh, so my life is not worth more than this person's life.
I actually was, I know it's going to sound messed up. And again, I feel like I have to keep apologizing from my, like, cartoonist.
I'm sorry.
My cartoonist, sorry, not sorry perspective on, like, making things twisted funny.
Red hair, don't care.
But, you know, I'm actually, like, I felt relieved that Carrie Fisher, like, didn't die on Christmas. Like, actually Christmas Day.
Happy she didn't die on a plane.
But I would have been like, well, she essentially kind of did. But,
No, she was alive.
I mean, she was not, she never regained.
She didn't pass on a plane.
I heard that people said that she was out for a while.
Yeah, but she didn't pass on a plane.
Yeah, I guess technically she didn't.
But well, then you, with death, you go technically, don't you?
Well, you go very.
She's like, oh, 50-50, she's dead. Let's bury her anyway.
Okay, but I feel like, I forget where I was getting to on this point, because, anyway, did you see that, Cinnabon thing? Cinnabon,
no,
I guess.
No, I didn't see any Cinnabon thing.
So, I guess, like, Cinnabon, got in trouble. For, like, having a picture of, I guess they put cinnamon on, like, they did some artistic thing with some type of, like, cinnamon sugar salt, or not salt, but sugar spread. And they made Carrie Fisher's profile and then put a cinnamon bun, like, on the bun of her hair.
Uh-huh.
And then they they wrote something like, R.I.P. Carrie, you still have the best buns in the universe.
Yeah, because at that point it became parody of itself.
Like, I get what they're doing, but I guess it just wasn't appropriate because she died.
Sorry, they sold millions already.
They could have done that maybe on her birthday, like, like, happy birthday, Carrie. You have the best buns in the universe. Like, then everyone would have just laughed.
That's the joy of this social media, is that, like, people are going to post it no matter what. And, oh, they got to take it off? Okay, well, people already saw it. Nothing's ever erased online.
Mm-hmm. But again, I'm glad she didn't die on Christmas, because I feel like that would have ruined a lot of Star Wars fans' Christmases. You know, like, it would have just been... And then also it would have marked Christmas as, like...
It is sort of freaky,
like, 2016, though. To be like, oh, that's the, like, that's the year that Carrie died. And then, like, a year later, they'd always be like, this Christmas marks Carrie Fisher's death. You know, like, she's almost, like, iconic in that way. And she would have, like, owned Christmas.
Because, like, Carrie Fisher's death pretty much overshadowed George Michael's death.
Yeah, they just came one after another.
It was like, well, one George Michael died, and then it almost felt like they delayed the news of Carrie Fisher's death in a way so George Michael can have his day of death.
No, I don't think they delayed it. I know they didn't,
but like it feels like if they're planning it out, they're like, oh.
Well, have you heard the conspiracy that celebrities always die in threes?
That's fine.
So I wonder who's next.
Someone we all forgot about.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Guess who died?
On today's news story.
Oh, Glenn Ifill also died.
Who?
Glenn Ifill. She's a correspondent on the news. On PBS NewsHour. And I got to meet her at the Hard Block Awards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. I remember I saw that photo.
And she always had, like, journalism pretty down... Pretty, like, straight-up... She's, like, one of the last straight-up journalists, you know? Like, journalism as a medium is kind of...
A joke?
on limbo, you know?
It's just news now, just words. Everyone's breaking their own news.
Which is funny, because on
Breaking their own news in their own life, like, it's the biggest headlining news in this whole entire world.
It's funny, because on the radio today, I heard... You know, they do, like, the top-of-the-hour news reports?
Yeah.
They were like, CBS, real news. Like, they actually had to preface it as, like, it's real news, like, as a tagline, which I never heard before. Maybe it's been out for a while, but it almost feels like they have to say real news instead of fake news or something.
By the way, this is real. It's happening now.
But it was, like, a bumper type thing. It was, like, CBS, real news.
Real news. It has to be really tough for people who are releasing the news. You know, it really does have to be a super challenge for those... Anything who are the producers or whoever's the directors of those shows,
mm-hmm.
or the news shows, because you can release news so fast. I can release
news. And everyone wants to be first.
Now that you can stream live and now that you can type and do anything of that, like your news is out there. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. It's pretty crazy. And that's another thing I feel like is, you know, changing, like, the dynamic of news and how people perceive the stories and how they want to get the news. You know, really, depending on whatever angle you want to get it from, you can go to multiple channels and try to get the way they think.
Yeah.
There's so much out there. But on a positive note, I feel like 2016 really produced great entertainment. First of all, we're in a TV revolution where you can see all different types of shows, and then the streaming is, like, huge now. People don't even want to own physical CDs or Blu-rays and DVDs and all that. Like, people don't want to own stuff, and they want it in and out. I'll enjoy it, and I'll...
shit it out.
That's pretty much all. Eat it, poop
it
out.
Shit it.
Like...
Was that good? I guess it is. It's great.
In and out.
It's great now. It's in the toilet.
In and out. Swipe left, swipe right. Like, I don't know. It does feel like a very in and out society right now.
Like, I finished Jessica Jones this year, and then when I watched it, and I saw when it came out, I was like, man, that show came out like in 2015. And I was like, oh, I thought I was on top of the game, but I wasn't on top of the game. But I was like, oh, it's still great.
I mean, you still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And really,
it's a great show.
If it's around still, you can always enjoy stuff that wasn't necessarily made like that same year.
Yeah. But I mean, I watched all of Game of Thrones this year. That show was made a long time ago.
And I do
Westworld.
Feel like
Westworld is great.
A lot of diversity too is like a lot of characters. Obviously, not everything is white anymore in the world.
And not everything is white. What does that mean?
I mean, you know, like the Oscars
ever?
Last year, everyone was saying like Oscar's so white.
Oscar's so white.
But now they have like Moonlight, the movie Fences with Denzel. There's a couple other movies that are coming out that seem to have like really diverse cast. There's that show that's always being promoted on HBO called like Insecure, I think. It has like a black woman.
At the end,
she wrote. I think she's kind of like the Lena Dunham of her.
At the end of the day, the market is more accepting to this. Hopefully, they're trying to open the market to this because there is still money on the table for these, for minority money. People mm-hmm. want minority money. Is so what it is. Mm-hmm. Minority money and minority ratings is another thing that's great. Why not?
And loving that people need to that see was a good movie.
People love to see themselves on the screen. Mm-hmm. Whether they can relate to it or not.
I think it's good that they're opening up like to new voices and new characters.
It's not only that, but it's also like you have so much more stories too.
And there's also much more platforms. There's all these different networks. And even online, you can make your own movies.
Because literally, how many times can you watch a character on a TV show that has a big ass rich white house in a suburban neighborhood? Which is almost, if you think about it, that's a majority of white shows or white movies. It's like, wow, look at like a white person
like the
comedy.
Home Alone house?
Yeah, like all that stuff. Like, this is what big, rich white people have. I'm like, wow, that's how it is? You can relate to that?
I don't even think white people can relate to that.
But like, that's the idea of it. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the stories. That's where they come from. So it's good to have that diversity of story because we need new stories mm-hmm. to be entertaining because people have short attention spans and they need something that's different. You can't
just Hollywood has listened.
No, they haven't.
Well, they're starting to listen.
Why are you making? I don't even think Hollywood is one entity. You know what I mean?
I feel like the egg
that people put together.
The egg has started to crack. Though.
What is the egg?
Just content.
Why are we saying it's that Hollywood is just one thing? Movies are being made all over the place.
But they still embody that shape.
Who is Hollywood? A distribution system?
They represent entertainment.
Hollywood?
Yes.
So what if a movie is distributed through Disney?
Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that location. For example,
I feel like we need to break it down. It shouldn't just be Hollywood. Why are we using the word only Hollywood? Because things are being made in Australia. They're being made in New Zealand.
It
being
be
made
anywhere.
In China. So Hollywood's not over there.
It's not, but I feel like it embodies... It's like it's almost like another word for entertainment.
Well, we need to change that because like it's gonna.
And why did they say the Hollywood Reporter? But they're reporting on movies that are made in Canada.
Because
probably.
It's made because that branding was already made a long time ago. But it'd be interesting if we change that up so it opens up more. Hollywood is that idea that's great, but I feel like maybe it is a certain amount of time where there's a different idea of cinema that can be happening. It's like you had films being made in Italy and in France and then in like the UK and all this stuff. Is that Hollywood?
Of course not.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
But then they could say the Hollywood of France.
But that'd be interesting if we change that up too. You know what I mean? Because a lot of movies are made in Atlanta. Is that Hollywood?
Hotlanta.
Is that Hollywood?
It's the Hollywood of the South.
I'm saying it'd be fun when we stop, like, when we can make a change of that. Because it is glamorous, yeah, but at the same time...
So basically, any film or movie that's only filmed in L.A. can be called Hollywood.
I agree with the saying, like, oh, that's so Hollywood. Like, it's an idea of a personality that people act like.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the game is changing.
But what if, like, someone lives in Atlanta and they have that Hollywood personality?
That's fine.
Then do we call them, oh, that's so Hollywood.
Yeah, we call them Hollywood.
They've never even stepped
like
foot
The Miz.
In LA.
If they act like The Miz, that's Hollywood.
He embodies superstar The Miz.
What?
He's Hollywood out of, like, everyone in WWE.
He's the A-lister.
Yes. So we look forward to 2017. We're closing out the year here at the Carol and Joe Show. We thank you guys for listening to us. All these weeks, we've been doing this show for a very long time, and we will continue to create the show for you. We enjoy doing it, and we enjoy hearing from you guys. Joe, where can you be reached at?
I can be reached at AstrayJ on Instagram, also JoeCarabello_photography on Instagram, also JoeCarabello.com, GoAstray.tumblr.com, and also, just so you guys know, this show is brought to you by Astray Productions. They put together every single time that we want to make this show happen. They do all this, and they've supplied all this, and, you know, go give them a shout and make sure they get their just desserts.
What type of desserts would they like?
Cherry pie!
folks at Astray Cherry Productions love that pie. Yes. Okay, so I'm Carolyn. I am on Instagram at Carolyn Bilewski, on Twitter at Carolyn Bilewski. I have a website that is carolynbilewski.com. Pretty much, just look for my name and you'll be able to find me. I'm out there.
That's right.
I also have a comic strip called Curls. You can read it at curls-studio.com/curls.
And we really do thank you for tuning in to this show every week and going back into listening to all these. If you guys weren't saying, when are you going to have another podcast? When are you going to have a podcast? You should do this podcast. If you guys weren't saying that during our sabbatical these past few weeks, we probably would not be here. So thank you for wanting us to be back on there. And once again, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.